So the Crown Court will hear either way or indictable only cases. And they will also hear any appeals against decisions made in a magistrate court. And so when you get to the Crown Court, the cases are divided up into three categories based on their severity. So you have class one, which is your most serious. So that's like your treason and your murder. And then you have class two, which is classed as serious cases such as rape. And then class three, which is all the other offences, burglary, kidnapping, robbery, gross bodily harm, those types of cases. And the court and trialling system of England and Wales has had a lot of limitations to it, and there is a lot of actual research going on at the moment in how we can have potential solutions to those issues. For one, the jury being involved in certain cases, is there's a lot of research going into that as to whether they are the most fair and impartial way of deciding a verdict. So when deciding a verdict, the standard of proof is how sure are you, and to give a guilty verdict you have to be sure beyond reasonable doubt, which is usually 90-95% sure that they did it or they didn't do it. This is often misinterpreted to you have to be 100% certain, and there has been cases that show that this uncertainty and misinterpretation of the standard of proof is seen in juries, barristers and judges, which already shows you that the cohesive like understanding isn't even there with the professionals and the legally trained. Also, the way that the courts and trialing systems are designed, the burden of proof is only on the prosecution in England and Wales. This is because the criminal justice system is based on the concept that the defendant is innocent until proven guilty. So it is on the Crown Prosecution Service to prove the defendant is guilty. The defendant do not have to establish that they are innocent, as they are innocent until proven otherwise. which kind of like gets into the adversarial justice system style. So you must assume as a jury member that the defendant is innocent up until the prosecution has proven you that you are 90-95% sure he's not. So there is also like questions against whether jury comprehension is there. And it's quite important that you have jury comprehension, since they are like listening and analysing the evidence to decide whether or not someone is guilty. Particularly because legal instructions given to the jury are complex. There's legal terminology used and they can be long-winded as well. Also, the reliability of juries because of bias impacting their impartiality. Especially in the more sensitive cases like Rasso trials. And we're seeing now in Scotland, they are now beginning actually to have Rasso trials with a judge only, rather than a jury, because there's been increasing research into rape myths and prejudice. Even if the jury don't actually know any members in the case, their views from society and the news just about the case type influencing their decision making. And I'll go a bit more into detail on jury decision making in England and Wales probably about 15 minutes after a couple of songs, just because I have an experience in it, so I can talk a bit about what I saw versus what research is saying. And the final agency in the criminal justice system is called the Prison and Probation Service. So they are carrying out the sentences that are given by the courts in custody and the community. They are also the service that are used to rehabilitate people through education and employment. And it is an agency that is sponsored by the Ministry of Justice. So the prison service will help those in custody lead law-abiding lives, both in and out of prison. And there are three different types of prisons. You've got your women's, men's, and your young offender institutions. And they all have their own categories. So men's prisons are split into four categories. You have category A, high security prisons, category B, local or training prisons, category C, which is training and resettlement prisons, and category D, which is open prisons for that have minimal security. Now, women and young adults are categorized and held in either closed or open condition prisons, except those that are considered high risk. Those will be put on a restricted status, and they will only be held in a closed prison. And in very exceptional cases, you will have women or young adults placed category A in a high security prison. Now, youth offenders, they are slightly different. They will be those aged 18 to 21, like those of the youth offender institutions, and those under 18 will be held in a youth secure state. Now, that's just the prison service. The probation service, which is usually alongside it, they focus more on rehabilitation and sort of lean on the restorative justice side of things. So they will supervise offenders in serving community sentences or those that are released into the community from prison. So they focus more on reducing the risk of reoffending, and they want to protect the community but also help enable offenders to turn their lives around so they can actually fit back into society smoothly. However, there are a lot of, I'd say, limitations, particularly with the prison service. Ones that we're hearing a lot about in the news, because we are having, back in England and Wales, a really big problem of prison overcrowding. So that's trying to come up with some solutions to that, as we are running out of space in prison. The crime rate is increasing too quickly to how long people are serving their sentences. So it's now they're deciding on people that they can have finished their sentences early, which offenders could maybe be let out a bit sooner in order to make room for other more serious offenders, especially since the rioting in England and Wales has caused a massive increase in people being arrested and charged. There is also a huge rise in drugs, violence, and self-harm in prisons. We saw that with those statistics earlier on about death in police custody, and it's similar with suicide rates in prisons as well. And the probation's supervision in the probation service is so overstretched, with people only being supervised for the first two-thirds of their license period once they are on leave from prison, because there just isn't the staff to handle it. And there's just unmanageable caseloads. And we're also seeing that the probation service may not be working very smoothly, as we are still seeing really high reoffending rates, and they just show that the prison and the probation service are having some problems that need to be sorted out. So yeah, that is the kind of brief overview of the criminal justice system in England and Wales. It's not the UK as a whole, as there is a different system for Northern Ireland and for Scotland. And I'm going to play a couple of songs before we get into my experience within the criminal justice system, being on the jury. So the songs that I have coming up next, they're all from the CJSF playlist. I've been sort of sifting through them and finding some really cool new tracks. So first up, we have the song So Dramatic off of the 2023 Yerba Mala album by the American duet Fake Dat. And I hope you guys enjoy. I'm so dramatic, acting like I'm drowning on the Titanic, acting like I'm dying all the time. Tragic, you say why, you do it all the time. George Costanza on a hot summer day, con ninguna esperanza. Sí.
to ask for. I'm so dramatic, acting like I'm drowning on the Titanic, acting like I'm dying all the time. Tragic, you say why you do it all the time. I'm so dramatic, acting like I'm drowning on the Titanic, acting like I'm dying all the time. Tragic, you say saber que soy actriz como DiCaprio y Meryl Streep, but they be wishing that they were me. All this melodrama in my family tree. Cuando te digo que no puedo, cuando te digo que me duele, que mis pies no se mueren. Sure, it hurts a little, but for you I'll fight any battle. I'm so dramatic, acting like I'm drowning on the Titanic, acting like I'm dying all the time. Tragic, you say why you do it all the time. I'm so dramatic, acting like I'm drowning on the Titanic, acting like I'm dying all the time. Tragic, you say
explores 1990s indie classics, recently exhumed underground gems, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Tune in if you're a slacker, loser, or creep for an hour of positively nostalgic triggers and some new stuff too on CJSF 90.1 FM or streaming at cjsf.ca.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, and you are listening to my open mic. So we just spoke about the kind of different areas of the criminal justice system in England and Wales. And now I want to just talk to you guys a little bit about my experience in it, what I kind of noticed in terms of the issues within the criminal justice system, specifically the jury, because that's what I was involved with. So I got summoned to do jury service, and in England and Wales, you get summoned when you are randomly selected on the electoral vote register, voting register. So that is where they kind of pull your names from. And you have to confirm your attendance. It's 2 weeks and it's mandatory. If you can't do the 2 weeks that you're given, you have to give them 3 dates in the next year that you'll definitely be able to do, and you'll get pulled to be a part of the jury for one of those. Or if you have exceptional circumstances, you'll be excused. And once you've done it, you can't do it again for 2 years, and your name will be taken off of the pool until then. So I got put on 2 cases. One lasted about a week and the other one lasted, I think, around like 3 days. So I technically did just under 2 weeks of service. And You get a bit of compensation if you're doing it. So if you're self-employed, I think you get about, it was like 60 something pounds a day, which isn't much if you think of what you could be earning doing your job. So I think that's like close to 120 Canadian dollars. And if you're a student, you don't get anything except your money back on food and travel expenses. And if you're employed, it's up to your employer whether they pay you for the 2 weeks off. So yeah, that's a bit about the jury and how it's kind of set up that way. One of the main things that I noticed when I was a part of the jury was so many external factors affecting the jury mindset. And when you're going into the court, how many people weren't going in with a clear head. So there were a lot of long-winded processes which frustrated a lot of people. It's a lot of waiting around. We would sometimes have, like, get told, you're on this case, you got sworn in, then you went back up to jury reception, and then you sat around for 2 hours, and you had no idea how long you were sitting around for before you get called again. A lot of people were saying it seemed like a waste of their time. They could have gone to work and then come back, things like that. So it's frustrating for a lot of people, and that obviously has an impact on how you're listening to evidence if you're already not in a kind of clear mindset. There were also a lot of delays, and we weren't really kept updated on the delays. So that again led to a lot of frustrated jury members and people being like saying things of, if I knew I would be sitting around this long, I could have gone on to work and earned this amount of money. Like, I have to pay my bills, things like that. So yeah, as well, like, the juror comprehension was very limited, with jury members openly admitting to not having read any of the material sent to them in the post of the information pack. And we are supposed to watch a video on your first day of a juror, being a jury member. But we didn't watch it. They didn't show it to us. And so they're relying on you to watch it in your own time, which a lot of people said that they did not do. So that's already being like people less informed on how to effectively be a jury member and being a juror, and how to effectively listen to evidence and make sound judgments with no bias, no prejudice against anything. The closing statements specifically as well from the prosecution and defense are very long, very filled with legal and formal terminology, and a lot of people said that they didn't understand half of what was being said, which is slightly worrying when it's the kind of final arguments for each side in persuading you on your on their case. And a lot of people on the jury openly said when we were on break that they zoned out, they just stopped listening. And one of them, I remember, even said that they fell asleep. And you will find that in a lot of courts in England, that jury members will be asleep during evidence being given, during closing statements, during instructions, and no one brings them up on the fact that they're asleep. So that's someone that's deciding a verdict that is just asleep during the trial, as something that's quite serious, considering they have the power to change someone's life completely. Also looking at the monitoring on jurors, for the court that I was in, we had a very highly sensitive case. And both of the cases I was on, they were very highly sensitive. And we are just told that you should not talk to anyone else on other juries about the case. You shouldn't talk to your family about it. You shouldn't research it. Shouldn't message. Don't talk to the people involved in the case if you see them around the court either. Now, that just is being told to us. There's no actual enforcement of that, except that they're trusting that we won't do it. So I overheard so many jurors on my trial, so many jurors on other trials, all discussing their cases openly in jury reception, and there's no monitoring on what we search on our phones. We're allowed to keep our phones for the entire time. So there's a very big question over how impartial jurors are if there's no monitoring on what we're doing on our phones or what we're talking about to each other, our phones are only taken when we're in the deliberation room. So we have them for the whole of the trial, of listening to the evidence, knowing who's involved, where it took place, when it took place. So there's very little, I guess, monitoring on it. People could very openly get bias from news articles and things like that very easily. And on the theme of like what is running through all of the criminal justice system in England and Wales is that it's not representative of society. I found that being on a jury, my jury only had one ethnic minority person on it for the first one, and again on the second one there was only one ethnic minority person. It was more representative in terms of age and gender, but not massively. There were only three men on the first jury that I was on and four on the second one, and there were a lot of people that were a lot older. I was the youngest on both juries by about 10 years. So there is a very big disparity in representation as well. And if they're deciding the verdict of someone, you would want them to have an equal representation. But then that kind of affects the randomized sampling of juries. And that's kind of a tricky and fuzzy area. So I definitely saw, when I was on a jury, a lot of the issues that are being researched now, particularly in that jurors, they will not go into decision-making with an open mind. They will not all be impartial and no bias, because it's human nature to have a bias. You will have a judgment. But jurors are not trained in specifically how to separate themselves from that judgment, which I think is what is needed, and research is being done into it, because you'll never find a person that doesn't have a prejudged feeling or view on something, because we all read the news before we go on jury service, like before we even know the case. It may not be specific details, but you would have heard similar cases around. So there's definitely some very stark issues with jury decision making, particularly as we're seeing a rise in RASO cases being taken to trial, and historic RASO cases, that juries will not be the best way forward in terms of bringing justice to the victims. And when it takes victims so long to step up as well and to tell their story, that they will want the justice that they have spent years looking for. That there are definitely some very big issues with that. And that's all I have for you guys today. I want to thank you so much for tuning into my open mic this afternoon, and I hope that you all enjoyed today's topic, looking into the criminal justice system, a bit more detail of it, and sort of my experience being a jury member and what I kind of saw that paralleled to what you hear in the news. As always, tune in next week for a new selection of music and a new topic for us to discuss. I am going to leave you with a final set of songs that I discovered from the CJSF playlist. And be sure to stay tuned, as we have Free Voices coming up next from 3 to 4 p.m. So I will see you guys next week. Thing I
I'm in the middle of a tour.